Okay, morning. So we're going to start here where we left off yesterday on the chapter Perek Dalet, Perek Hay. Sorry, we're in Perek Hay. Wow, I'll get that clear. Just 1 second, let's just kill that background noise. Okay. So we spoke about two main Yesodos yesterday. The first one was how do we summarize this? First of all, we spoke about that 80% of Klal Yisrael, even though that they were after eight Makos, couldn't let go of their dependence on Mitzrayim. You get used to something; it's very hard to step into the unknown. That's one of the biggest fears a person has: the fear of the unknown. That's what makes change so complex. So Klal Yisrael needed to go through 40 years in the Midbar, living with Al Pi Hashem Yichanu Val Pi Hashem Yisol, in order to learn and entrench deeply into their system the concept of Imun and Betochen, that they know that they're totally reliant on Hashem and nobody else. Kagomala Imoy, like a baby, when it's with its mother, when it's in its mother's lap, it doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter if it's on the ground, in the air, doesn't matter what's going on around it, but the baby feels secure because it's with its mother. That's what that's the level that Klal Yisrael got to there in the Midbar. Then we mentioned yesterday, just to strengthen that, we saw from the Baratanya, or Rabbi Yonis and other sites, whoever you want to blame that story on, the concept of we don't know where we're going. He was on his way to the mikveh, and then he was going to go daven and whatever. Meanwhile, he's in prison. He tells the cop, I don't know where I was going. And the truth is, he was right. He didn't know. We plan. We think we know where we're going. We think we know what the tochnit for the day is. But at the end of the day, you really don't know. You don't always land up where you thought you were going to land up. And you're not sure sometimes why you are where you are. If Burns a little bit sensitive alert, you'll see there's a lot of things happening in your day that's Hashem talking, not you. So I'm on the bottom of Reish Yud Aleph. Like the Chovas Lavova says, that it's the essence of Betochen is Shalvas HaNefesh Menuchas HaDas. Serenity, tranquility, calmness only comes with a life of Inmun Betochen. There is nothing else. There's nothing else that can give a person true Menuchas HaNefesh other than that. When a Jew takes steps, he goes through his life with tochen, with tmimus. Yad b'yad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding that he's with Hashem every step of the way. Machshavoysev v'techniyosev mekabolos es ha'izun ha'nochon. Then a person's plans and a person's efforts and thoughts get the correct balance. Not that he stops thinking, stops planning. No, but they just get put into perspective properly. Everyone's priorities shift out. He knows he has a chiyuv to make ishtadlus. Whatever the ishtadlus is, how much ishtadlus, when ishtadlus, all the klalim of hilchus ishtadlus. And no more than that he doesn't have to do. There's none of his business. None of his business afterwards. You have to make your ishtadlus. We're working out what ishtadlus, how much ishtadlus, when to make ishtadlus, when to make ishtadlus. That's where the work is in ishtadlus. But that has nothing to do with the end result. What you're going to get, you're going to get. What you're not supposed to get, you're not going to get, no matter whether you turn the world upside down. Makes absolutely no difference. Ishtadlus einu moyile ele muchreches. The ishtadlus doesn't help to get what you plan to get. You have to do it. You have to do it either because of b'zayasa pecha toichalechem after the chet, or according to the Chovas Lavavos, the mitzvah deraisa even before the chet. Brings down in the Chovas Lavavos that the mitzvah of ishtadlus was already before the chet. Shoyim ve'ayved. Whatever it is, but the ishtadlus yesh toichem bifnei atzmo. The ishtadlus has its own reality. The lo kashur kol kach to the end result. Gam im hu lo oilo, even if it doesn't do anything to get what you want. Matarat ishtadlus lefasem Hashem Hashem bo'ilo. His malach, the goal of the ishtadlus, one of the goals of Ishtadlus, let's put it that way, there's other things that Ishtadlus is doing, but for sure, one of the things Ishtadlus is doing is being mefasem Hashem Hashem Boilam. It's publicizing the Kiddush Hashem. How does a person know in which way, where he's supposed to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? How does he know which area he needs to be working on? So that's very easy. The fi hatzrachim shakodesh baruch hu mazmin lo, based on what Hashem gives him. Keshechasor lo panosa, when he sees he hasn't got panosa, as al vishtadu bo ifin mesuyam, ulefasim al yedei kach esaymune bo ifin ze, then he has to mefanas Hashem, mefasim and be mechabed kovet shemayim that way. Keshechasor lo briut, when he's got a toothache or he's sick, as alav lishtadlo boifen acher, then he has to make ishtadlus in that area, like we saw from the story about the guy who's in the office busy making deals, then suddenly gets excruciating toothache, and now he has to go to the dentist. As different places, wherever you are, making whatever ishtadlus a person needs to be making, the fee, the netunim, the facts on the ground, there he's that's where he has to make his ishtadlus, and that's where he has to be makar Hashem Shemayim. Ubekach lefasim es Shem Hashem boilam kemoken kishu mechapes shiduch. Same as in Shiduchim, Alev Lefasim Esamun Hashem Bo'ilam Bo'ifen Ache. When he's making Shiduchim, when he's involved in Shiduchim, when he's dealing with the Mechutonim, when he's, so then that's where he has to be a Kiddush Hashem. V'derech zu kol ishtadlus mo'il b'tchum Lefasim Hashem Hashem b'fnei bo'ei teivo. In that way, his ishtadlus helps in the areas wherever he's being mishtadl to Mekad Hashem Shemayim. Okay, well, that's one of the things it does. It does other things as well. It protects his betochen. It helps him to get betochen. It helps him to break his belief in his ishtadlus. Many things that the ishtadlus does, well, nothing directly to what you're actually trying to achieve. That's from Hashem. Ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima. That's the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. If you get that right, you've pretty covered all your bases. Be'emunah shleima shebo yisbarach shmo hu'boiru manig l'kol habruim. He's boire and manig. He creates him geshmi ayin and he controls him. He alone is also a Sivi Asimal Kolomasin. And he did, will do, and he's doing everything. Him alone, Levado, no one else. That's the first of the Ani, that's the first of the Animamin. If you haven't got that right, then you're not even in the game. If you think somebody else out there can hurt you, damn it. No, Animamin Bunu Shleima, the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Obviously, the work here is not just to know this intellectually. That's not so hard. It's not so hard. It makes perfect sense. It's very logical, for sure. But the doesn't start doing anything in my life until it's internalized a little bit. But when it is, everything he does takes on a whole new different seriousness, a whole new different depth. Everything a person's doing then is ishtadlus. What's keeping the person? What's holding him up? What's propping him up? What's giving him the support he needs? Is the Rotzen Hashem? That's what he's doing. He's doing the Rotzen Hashem all the time, every second. When he's sleeping, he's doing the Rotzen Hashem. That's also ishtadlus. Reb Chanina ben Dosa also made ishtadlus. He lit the vinegar. We got ishtadlus. Reb Shimon bar Yochai, when he was in the cave, so Hashem did miracles for him. He gave him a well and he gave him a tree that grew there miraculously, and he ate from that. But he's let to pick it from the tree and eat it. He had to put his mouth, chew it, and swallow it. So gam ishtadlus. Was it kulu rotzen Hashem? Keeping yourself healthy and well and alive. The gam rotzen Hashem. So when you're eating properly, when you're sleeping, whatever, the most mundane things, go to the bathrooms. There's a kulu kuli shtadlus, and that's makayim the rotzen Hashem. Lamaisa kach achein chay anshei emuna. That's how balei emuna live. V'sipor alechem megidoy li Yisrael ki yom echad hu kra l'sham sheva amalo. He called Ishamas and he said to him, "Hayom b'boker Hakadosh Baruch Hu bikesh mimeni ki chapes es na'ale b'meshach reva shah." Today, Hakadosh Baruch Hu asked me to look for my shoes for 15 minutes. And then he asked me after 5 minutes, he said, "Please stop looking for them." Hashamash lo evin es dvirei Rebbe. The Hashamash didn't know what the Rebbe is talking about. He thought maybe the Rebbe got a bit of, he's lost it. As v'choshev shema enu chash betov, or shema chas v'nizik na kavtza olav, maybe he's getting a bottle. Kishor Rebbe Shashamash any Yuri the Sof Daita, when the Rebbe saw the Shamash wasn't Ulomi Vin. Kuamalo, Boz Bilacha is Dvarag. I'll explain to you what I'm talking about. Kam Tibavoka, Velomatsatis, Nala, I got up this morning, I couldn't find my shoes. Revanti Karshbochu, Reitze, Shemavakesh, Mimeniata, Lachapes, Nala. Understood that Hashem asked me please to go look for my shoes because I couldn't find my shoes. By the way, before you go to sleep at night, know where your shoes are. So you don't have to waste 15 minutes in the morning looking for your shoes. That's ridiculous. No businessman does that. No Bala McCollett wakes up in the morning and he opens the shop half an hour late because he couldn't find the keys to the store. He knows where the keys to the store and knows where your shoes are. Before you go to bed at night, make sure you know where your shoes are. That's why I'm not sure. Okay, whatever. No, it's a mod chashuv to do it, to know that. No, nobody wastes 15 minutes of your life looking for shoes. Oh, well, the lesson here is the lesson, yeah? So I understood if I couldn't find my shoes, I wanted to find my shoes. After 15 minutes, I found my shoes. As I understood there, the Kodesh Baruch was telling me you can stop looking for your shoes now. So that, but someone who understands that everything he's doing is begedah, doing the Rotzon Hashem. There's not some funny, nasty, exaggerated example we're talking about. That's the truth of what it means to live with Imunah. Everything that's happening to a person is aimed, is planned, is sent to him from Hashem, and it's all with unbelievable perfection. Dikduk otsum. Nothing's wasted. Nothing. Nothing's too small for Hashem, and nothing's too big for Hashem. Kashedi ma'amin mu'unyan lishtot kosmaim. When a ma'amin wants to drink a glass of water, just because he opens the tap and he fills the cup doesn't mean that he'll drink the water. Whatever happened to you, fill a glass of water and the cup drops from your hand, or someone bumps you and you spill it. Just because you want to drink a glass of water and you make all these shtadlus doesn't mean you'll drink the water. Hishtadlus u'giloi mishamayim ma'u rotzon Hashem she'asak bo yachshav. The shtadlus is a giloi from Hashem. What the rotzon Hashem is that you should be doing right now. Shereba kol rega v'rega yudi dovuk pekodesh baruch hu b'tachlis advekus. Because every second a person is dovuk to Hashem. We don't got a mom in here. I'm talking about us. This is where we're trying to get to. Voice is myself behetim l'rotzon Hashem. He does everything according to the rotzon Hashem. The people that lived like that. And people like live. They said the Briskerov never lifted a finger without consulting Shulchan Aruch first. Before you do anything, you play it through Shulchan Aruch. You play what does a Kodesh Baruch Hu want from me in this particular situation. And once you've done everything that a Kodesh Baruch Hu asked you to do, then you don't have then you completely, totally not nothing to worry about. Everything's fine. When the Briskerov was in Vilna, so they were bombing Vilna, and he was staying on a second floor apartment upstairs, and it was dangerous. So they wanted them to go to the miklat, to go downstairs into the bunker under the building. Buildings had miklatim. So he wasn't sure what to do. He was very, very torrid, and he was very, very anxious about this whole thing. His son said you could see he was more perturbed. Was pacing up and down and whatever. Eventually said to his son, I've decided that it makes no difference upstairs or downstairs. I'm going to sleep. And he went to bed. His son said, I don't understand. For the last 20 minutes here, you've been angst and worried. What's going to be? Bombing, not bombing. Yeah, no, hey, will we live? How are you going to go to sleep now? How did that happen? He said, I wasn't worried about bombing, not bombing. I was worried about being in the right place to see what the Hashem wants my shtadlis to be. Where's the safest place to be? I had to work out where the safest place to be is. That's my shtadlis. Upstairs or downstairs? I'm not worried about the bombs falling. The bombs are going to hit me wherever I am. I'm not in charge of that. That wasn't what I was worried about. I was worried about getting the Rotzon Hashem right. Once I came to the Psak, it makes no difference whether I'm upstairs or downstairs. So now I don't have any more worries. I'm going to sleep. What's the problem? I wasn't worried about what you think I was worried about. I was worried about getting the Locha right, getting the Ishtadlis right. There, he has to make sure that he's making the correct ishtadlis. But once you've made the right ishtadlis, so now there's nothing left to worry about because now it's all b'day shemayim. Well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Nothing to do with you. The meshes chokhmah that we saw right in the beginning, more chashuv that meshes chokhmah. To keep remembering that somebody wants from the tochen, you have to know that meshes chokhmah well. Kimitzvah zavdochen mitzvah dveikus. The mitzvah betochen is a relationship. The mitzvah betochen is a relationship you have with Hashem. So the Baal betochen, there's nothing he does in his life that isn't somehow a kium or a non-kium of the Rotzen Hashem. If you think you're holding, that's the madrega of Yitzhak Avinu. Dveikus muchletes b'Hashem Yisbach b'kol rega b'kol pula. Complete dveikus with Hashem, not thinking about anything else, anybody else, just wanting to know, what does Hashem want from me now? That's all. Simple question, or not so simple, but that's the avoider. At least be aware of that. At least for us, where do we start with it? There's a mod kashem. That's not something that's, something you fall into. To become an uman, Loshen Imuna is from Loshen Uman. An uman is somebody who does something without das. Yeah, professional. Somebody who knows what he's doing. He does that without das. He is so good at it. It's so part of him. It's so natural to him. He does it without thinking. Yeah, somebody's been driving a car for a long, long time. He can drive 100 kilometers with doing 50 different things, talking on the phone, changing the radio, playing with the air conditioner, smoking a cigarette, drinking a Coke, all at once without even noticing. He doesn't even know that he's driving. That's an ominous. A new person has just started driving, so you can't talk to him. He's sitting there with his knuckles on the wheel and he's shaking don't distract me. He's got it because not an uman yet. He's not an uman yet. Yeah. And you can always get better and better at it. There's never an end to how far a person can go with imuna. Imuna ve'emes. Emes is the goal. Emes is a kodesh boku. That's perfection. We're going from imuna to emes. That's where you start. A person starts with imuna and he grows and grows and until he gets to emes. When you're in emes, you don't need imuna anymore. Yeah? You don't need imuna that you got five fingers. You know that. That's emes. So in the relationship we have with Hashem, the imuna in Hashem is an ongoing endless path. You have to keep building it and developing it. And the more you internalize it, you'll see. You all have levels. We all have levels of imuna and betochen that already internalized, that are part of us that we don't have to work on anymore. And then the next level, and the next level, and it's endless. But that's the avoided imuna betochen. Obviously, we haven't scratched the surface here. It's big. The Meshes Chochmah is ma'od ma'od important to know that different situations, different times, different people have different approaches and needs for betochen and how it works and where it works. It's about relationships, so it's very, very it's very mukav. So that's why there's lots of different shittas, lots of different approaches, and you have to find what works for you, when it works for you, it changes. But a person has to take a chras for this. A person has to take responsibility for this avoida. If you're not an uman in chveis, in music or whatever, let's say you're not the world's greatest musician, so then so you won't be a musician. But if you're not an uman in imuna, in betoche, then you're not alive. The whole purpose we came in this world is to develop our relationship and get closer to Hashem and to know Hashem and to rely on Hashem and trust in Hashem. That's what we're in this world for. David, maybe you can tell us, you're an uman. David, you can take pictures like nobody, yeah? When you hold that camera, you're not thinking about what you're doing. It comes naturally, nachon? That's an umanness. But you could always get better. You could always get better. You could always practice. You could always upgrade. You get a fancier camera. You could. They say Isaac Stern, who was arguably the greatest violinist, used to practice 8 hours a day. What's he practicing? What's he practicing? There's no one better. So he said, on the day that he doesn't practice, he knows the difference. Might have mentioned this here before, more than once maybe. On the day that he doesn't practice, he knows the difference. After 2 days, his violin knows the difference. And on the third day, the audience already can tell the difference. This is a woman. You know that when you're with an woman, when you're in the presence of an woman, you feel it. You sense it. There's an MS in what he's doing. You sense something. There's something beautiful about professionalism. Somebody who's a professional musician or even a doctor. You go to a doctor who really knows what he's doing. You can see he's a professional. He knows what he's talking about. You've been to 35 doctors. You haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Eventually, you get appointment with a big mumcha or whatever, yeah? And you feel you're in the presence of somebody who knows what he's talking about. He gets to the point. He understands. It's an ominous. By the way, just an aside, there's an umanus that everybody has. One of the most complicated things in the world to do that everybody's born with naturally. If an umanus means doing something without das, you don't have to sit there planning like a typist. You know, I type. How do I type? I sort of look for the thing and then go click. If you look for the next thing, you go click. Yeah. When somebody knows how to type properly, once had a Talmud in the yeshiva, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He's listening to a shiur and he's typing every word that the Rav's saying. Not even looking at the computer. His fingers were just like flying over the board. He's an Oman. It was so beautiful to watch. Except the noise used to irritate you. You like listen to a shiur and this guy's clack, clack, clacking in your ear. But anyway, besides that, but it was gewaldig to watch. I couldn't listen to the shiur, so busy watching him. And after the shiur, he prints out there every word the Rav said. There, boom, you know. that's some type of womanness. But what did I want to tell you? There was something else I wanted to tell you. Now I got sidetracked. The thing that a person's born with that you can do is a baby. When a baby's born, he can't do anything. Can't do any coordinated movement or action. Can't lift his head. He can't do anything. But he can suckle. Do you know how many bones and movements and complicated reactions in a person's mouth have to take place to suckle? And he's born with that natural. He's born with that umanus. It's an umanus. He does it without thinking. He can't do anything coordinated, but that he knows how to do. Everybody's born with something inside of themselves that you can relate to. This is an umanus. Okay, so that's obviously, as the Chovei Salavav himself says, the most important thing a person needs in order to be an Oved Hashem, in order to live, in order to function, in order to survive in this world, is Emunah and Bitachon, and we have to continually build and grow and develop it. We're starting now the next section in the Sefer, which is called Anaf Beis. This is the second Chelek of the second Sefer. It means it's sort of like big B, little B. You know, this is little B in the big B. The second Sefer, this is the second wing, the second part. And it's called Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava, that's the subject we're going to be dealing with. Obviously, it's based on Betochen. You can't have Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava if you don't have Betochen. That's a given. So let's start also. Not an easy sugya. It's a painful sugya because there's Yisurim involved and how we approach Yisurim, how we deal with it, and how we come out with some kind of a workable mahalach to be able to take our Yisurim, which are a precious gift, and to be able to utilize them properly and not let them turn us around. Before we start that, maybe just if there's any questions on Betochen. I'm sure there's hundreds of questions on Betochen. It's an ongoing limud. If you have any questions now before we start, let's just deal with those. Betochen, Ishtadlis. It's all clear, everything's fine. Good, so we'll go weiter. Resh Tes Vav Psiche on Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. Sugya's Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava, he Sugya Yisoidis Be'yaisa. This is one of the most fundamental Sugyas you'll learn. Hinogas Letzipu Nafshu Shela Yadut. This goes to the central core of a whole Yiddishkeit. Ein hi Milo Midas Chassidus Ba'alma. It's not come kind of like a high Midas Chassidus, some kind of a high Darga, when you finish the Mesilis Yisharim, now you can be Yisik in Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava. No. When a person lives and he's not shalom with Hashem, he can start with questioning, and it starts eventually a person can mamash be completely at odds with the rotzon of Hashem. Gam imu tzadik ve'enu vate b'sos of zivrei truni chas v'chalila. Even if he's a big tzadik and he keeps quiet, he doesn't say any words against Hashem. He walks around with a feeling deep inside of himself, whether he knows about it, whether he acknowledges it, whether it's a subconscious thing about humagish, that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't love him. We're talking about a Bali Munia, we're talking about somebody who knows that it's all from Hashem. We're talking about somebody who says, yeah, well, these Yisurim don't come from Hashem, the Lokoshul Hashem. This corona's got nothing to do with Hashem, the Lokoshul Hashem, why Hashem wouldn't do such a thing, the Holocaust wasn't from Hashem. You know, no. Umivin, animamin be'emunah shleima, v'hu levado oseh ve'aseh kol ha'maasim. As when you get to that level, you realize it's all from Hashem. You can start thinking, one second, you know, the world's not so poshut. We live in a world that's riddled with not so easy questions to answer about suffering. So it could be in his heart of hearts, there may be feelings that are going to start getting in the way. I don't think you're immune to this. Avraham Avinu had this problem. We'll see. This is something that you have to acknowledge and be aware of. The awareness of it and putting it on the table, having the courage to face this, is what enables us to get past it. אז מכל מוקם לליבוי פנים הם מתגנבת מחשובה שקודש ברוך הוא אין אוהב יותר חס וחלילה. המחשובס האגומס והמרירס, המצטברס עודס מצבו, היא גורמס לכך שיחס אבא בינו לבין השם יספרח נחלש. These bitter thoughts, these difficult thoughts, these complicated questions that he has going inside of himself, ולא מבין, why is Hashem causing so much suffering to him, other people, where, how, you look at what's going on in the world, זה מי השם. So the אבא, the קשר of אבא that he has with Hashem starts weakening. ובכך הוא מבטל למעשה בכל רגע מצווה עשה מדרייסה, besides the fact that he's מקבל, he's מבטל למצווה עשה דרייסה, ואהבת את השם אלוקיך, זה מצווה דרייסה. But you understand for yourself that your whole foundations of your life, of living a life, of simcha, of betochen, of imuna, of being with Hashem, of kol ma'ada avid rachmona letov avid, that whole arena of avoida is cracked. There's holes in there, big holes. And there's holes. And a lot of the times there's holes because we don't have the courage to ask the questions. You have to ask the questions. You don't have to be curious if you ask proper questions. Unfortunately, we live in a world where you're not allowed to ask questions. If you'll ask some real hard questions, then you're in trouble. We have to always, you know, plaster over the kashas we have with all sorts of, you know, platitudes, nice from the lip outward statements of a deep down. A person has to ask these real questions, a person has to ask, and he has to have the courage to face them. You may not get an answer. And it's not a steer to my emunah. And what I don't understand and what I can't understand. I'm happy with that, but still we can ask questions. Person can ask questions. And if you don't have the courage to ask the questions, well, then you're not going to get anywhere. There's big questions. There's big holes in some of our hashkafas that you have to ask questions about. And you're not picayrus. You're not picayrus for having questions. I spoke to a group of Bochrim not so long ago. That's some real hard questions, and no one would deal with them. They told him, yeah, you have to have imuna, you have to machazik, you have to, but they had real questions. So they wanted to know what I thought. I told him, you've got good questions. I don't have answers for your questions, but let's put the questions on the table at least. The courage to ask the questions. Well, the courage to ask the questions. Not Moshe Rabbeinu had the courage to ask the questions. I don't understand. Look at Rabbi Akiva. Look at his life and look at his rewards. It all, Moshe Rabbeinu had a real difficulty with that, but he asked the question. He didn't. I mean, if you ask the question, Napikaitis, yeah, what are you asking? No. You see problems. Ask the question. You go through life. You'll see things. If you're not going to ask the question, it's just going to sit there and it's going to swelter and you're going to suppress it. Eventually, it'll blow up in your face. You become an apikoros by not asking the question quicker than by asking the question. We can't always understand Hashem's ways. A child's allowed to ask his father, Abba, I don't understand. Yesterday, you did it like this and today, you're doing it like this. How come there's a difference? The father may not be able to explain it to the child. The differences behind the father's decision may be too sophisticated for the child to grasp right now. The child has to know whatever Abba does is for the best. But good, Baruch Hashem, the child saw the difference. He sees there's something going on here. Have the courage to ask the question. And have the courage to know you may not get an answer either. That's also part of the game. But not to ask the question because you're scared of being an apikoros. I don't understand what that has to do with Yiddishkeit. Christianity, maybe you're not allowed to ask questions, but in Yiddishkeit, sure, we ask questions all the time. Yeah, difficult, hard, uncomfortable questions. We have to be able to ask those questions. I once had a moedika question. I'll give you a question that you're not allowed to ask, but you could ask it anyway. We have a chiyuv to love Hashem, yeah? We just saw that, yeah. V'aftas Hashem alokecho. That's a mitzvah deraisa. What does it mean you have to love Hashem? It means you have to have feelings of warmth and love and, you know, like to put it into our language. I'm not bringing Hashem down into my world, but just to make this a little bit real for us. What does it mean? It means you have to get warm and cuddly. That means you got to, you love, you have to feel warmth and nice feeling. You'll be warm with Hashem, yeah? So how's this for a question? How do you get warm and cuddly with a guy that built Auschwitz? That's a good question, huh? Who made Auschwitz? Hashem. Yeah, for sure the Germans had an agenda and for sure the Germans were doing what they were doing and for sure the Germans had Bechira. If they had Bechira, they're doing for sure. But at the end of the day, anachnu ma'aminim. Be'emunu shleima, shehu levada oisa v'yaseh kol ha'maasim. He does everything. So who built Auschwitz? Hashem. But you have to love him and get close to him and be warm with him and be donna kavschus. And that's a hard question to answer, no? How do you do that? Now, that's a real question. You have to have the courage to ask that question. No, don't ask the question. Chas v'chalila. You're not being curious. How can you ask such questions? You'll be choshed Hashem. No, I'm not being choshed Hashem. There was a thing called Auschwitz. Yeah, you're for sure. Yeah, and Ani Mamin is the first of the Ani Mamins. So fine, so you have a kasha. What's the problem? So ask the kasha. I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. But not to ask the question, bichlal, to pretend that, how can you live like that? I don't know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody out there so hard doing this on Zoom, eh? We have to get rid of Zoom soon. I think we have to actually come back to the Beis Midrash and do this properly. No, these are subjects that you want to feel people's energy. It's very hard doing this on Zoom, eh? Anybody out there know what I'm talking? Anybody out there still? You just put your picture up there. You put a video of yourself on the screen and you've gone to sleep. I don't know if there's anybody even out there today. Whatever. Anyway, okay, we have to stop now. But I mean, that's just an example. When I heard that kasha, was like, wow, that's refreshing. Somebody had the courage to ask that question. You know, when there was that Rahman, it was that terrible shooting in the yeshiva there in Merkaz Arav a few years ago. How many years ago was it? I can't remember. Yeah, some Arabs came into the Beis Midrash and they killed those kids. 7-8 kids, Bochrim, Yeshiva Bochrim, sitting and learning. Yeah, there wasn't a kasha there. What happened to Torah, Magen u'Matzil? You didn't have a kasha? That's relating to the reality the way it is. Some Arab came into the Beis Midrash and shot 8 people, I think, I can't remember, Rahman al-San, while they were sitting and learning Torah. That's not a kasha. What happened to Torah, Magen u'Matzil? You have that question? I have that question. It doesn't take my emunah away. On the contrary, it allows me to have more emunah and betochen. Not asking that question, suppressing it and pretending that that's not really what happened, it didn't happen, and finding other ridiculously horrible, disgusting excuses for why that happened, and not just having the courage to say, what happened to Torah, Magen u'Matzil? All the time. Today, with COVID, you don't have questions about Torah, Magen u'Matzil? Anyway. So fine. So that's part of this understanding of Kabbalah's Yisurim Ba'avu. We have to have the courage to face it and deal with it, because otherwise it just sits there and festers and becomes a terrible wound, and eventually it takes away our Simchas Hachaim, it takes away our Avos Hashem, and a person can't move forward like that. So that's what we're going to be dealing with over the next couple of sessions. We're going to be dealing with that subject. Okay, take good care. Have a good day.
Thank you, Rav Shlomo. Is it looking like...